Everybody missing?
Yeah, they
if you're missing, speak up.
They cleaned out the water line and flushed it down there.
What do we need for a quorum?
Devin, what do we need for a quorum?
How do you check all of the
I think it's. How many members?
Raise your hand if you're a COG member.
Oh, yeah, that would be me.
Me.
That's 5, 6, 7.
You got his proxy?
No, from what I understood, though, the COG. Well, this one only for elected officials?
Yeah. Or their standing.
One I was mentioned said I could not count as right with like a corner or to vote.
It says here on the
number. Yeah, you're a member.
Am I?
Yeah. All the incorporated cities are members.
Okay. All right, well, we'll begin then. Determined by Evan and those who said we have a quorum, we'll get started Tuesday, August 20th, 2024. This is the Council of Governments meeting in Washington County Admin Building. Welcome, everyone. Those also on Zoom and who are members, thank you. Item number one is completed two consideration of previous meeting minutes from March 19th, 2024. Which, Jan, thank you for passing those out there in front of you. If you reviewed them, great. If you have any changes, let us know. Otherwise, we'll ask for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of March 19th, 2024.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The financial update.
She's on Zoom.
Bill's online. I could probably cover that if.
Okay.
See if I can unmute her. As of right now, our base balance is $2.4 million. If you want to reference these spreadsheets that Camilla's prepared. Of that, in the preservation fund, we don't have a whole lot of cash right now. We have $112,000. In the construction grant fund, we have $1.5 million, and we have a lot in the construction revolving loan fund. We have just over $1 million. That is a later item on the agenda to maybe move some of that money. We've never had an actual use for any construction revolving loan fund. Those would be funds that you borrow and then pay back to the COG. Nobody's ever really wanted to do that. We've had an application or two, but they've always withdrawn them later to receive grant funds, so we staff would recommend that we move some of that money over to the preservation fund. And possibly, at some point in time, maybe eliminate that construction revolving loan fund. I know it's been talked about before, but like I said, in the 10, 12 years we've been doing this, we've never had a demand for it. It was not originally in the legislation. It was added later. And we adopted it, but again, we just have never had a use for it. So, any questions on any of that?
Is there a total bank balance on that sheet? I don't have it for me.
Yeah, the total bank balance is. Oh boy. I put it on my other one and I did it on this one, I'm sorry. $5,667,000 and some change. We've got a lot of money in the bank. We have a lot of money that's been obligated to projects. And then we still have a lot of money that we have available for additional projects. We've got about $2.5 million for additional projects. And I think we've got about $3 million committed.
Camille, if you have anything to add?
No, he covered the financials perfectly, I thought.
Okay, great. All right, that does not require a motion for anything. It's more of an update. Item four is an action item, though. Deobligation of funds in the preservation fund and construction grant fund, as Todd mentioned.
I can also handle this one a little bit. Last time you'll remember, we deobligated some funds. That's quite a while ago, but we've done this often where a project will be obligated $1 million. They'll use $800,000, and then we deobligate whatever's left over. Camille went back through all of the agendas and minutes of all the meetings and found that we hadn't formally deobligated a number of items. Some of them are really old, like there was the St. George City, the Dixie Drive interchange down there. That was done back in 2010. Land was acquired for it, but it was, they had $252,000 obligated. They spent about $169,000. So there was $83,000 that was never used, but never taken off the books. And so what this is doing is trying to take those items that we thought were deobligated, but never were formally deobligated. And so she's come up with this list of $626,000 in the preservation fund and $121,000 in the construction grant fund that staff would recommend we deobligate formally so that we can make sure our books balance. Not have these old projects hanging around.
They're completed projects that didn't use the entire amount.
Exactly. And that's what we wanted everybody to look at to make sure that we're not deobligating. This isn't saying that they couldn't come back for more funds on this. It was just a lot of these were ones where they were had a project, maybe it changed, and they got this additional funding, but they never did deobligate the other funding. So that's kind of where we're at.
Todd, I have a question. So when we vote to authorize funds, it's open-ended. I wonder, should we consider in the future of maybe a 24-month period? It's like if you can't get this nailed down in 24 months, you're going to need to come back and ask for it again, because otherwise, I mean, $600,000, you're asking us to...
We did that. We actually looked at, and later on we're going to look at some revisions to the policies. We actually had that in there for a 3-year at one time. Came before the board, and we decided not to do that just because a lot of these things do take a long time. You know, you'll obligate something, and maybe it takes you several years before you can get it. So it wasn't passed at that time, but it's certainly something we could look at again.
Well, it seems like whatever entity, the cities or whatever, at least they can come back and give a report and say, we're still working on this, keep the funds there.
Yeah.
But that way we can keep track of where they are in their projects.
Yeah, if that's something you guys would like to, we could put it into our policies to automatically deobligate funding after a certain period of time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, are you looking for a motion to...
Please.
I'd like to make a motion that we deobligate the funds in the preservation fund and construction grant fund that have been presented on the handout before us.
Second motion.
Motion and a second. Let this be part of the record of this list, but I think that's all inclusive, but make sure that's placed back in the minute for any future review.
Chris. If I just, before I'm happy to vote, I just want to make another point really quick. You know, just if perchance that some of these are still active items, we'll just ask the COG to allow them to come back and get that funding again. I mean, I see the dates. Most of these are, you know, 3 or more years old, and these are probably just remaining funds. But I think maybe if there were something just outlying that one of these entities didn't recognize, I would just ask that they would be able to come back and reapply for that and finish that up.
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of these that are multiple things. You know, certainly all of these corridors are still valid, so they're all can be an application to be prepared. I don't think we've ever in the COG's history denied an application that I know of. So
yeah,
but well, great point.
So in this county, if you wait very long, you're going to need to come back for more money.
It does free up a little bit. Don't tell anybody, but it freed up about $650,000.
Yeah. Yeah. All in favor of the motion, say
aye. Aye.
Aye.
Noted. Thank you. Next item, 5. Transfer of funds from the construction revolving fund to the preservation fund.
As again, what I talked about before, we have an excess amount, what we feel staff fills in the construction revolving loan fund. would recommend that we transfer $1 million of that back into the preservation fund where there's more demand. We've done this several times over the years. We'll accumulate money in that fund, and then usually we've moved it when there was a need. This time we're actually asking to move it prior to having a request for those funds. But we thought since there was so much in there now and there's so little in the preservation fund, we didn't want to discourage people making applications because they look and see, oh, there's no funding available, so it's not worth making the application. So that's why we're recommending to move at least some of that over into the preservation fund.
And isn't the preservation fund also going to get $626,000 of
yes.
the obligated funds?
Yeah, well.
So that'll be good.
No, the money's still there. It's just
one pocket to another.
Yeah, well, some of those formerly deobligated funds have been taken care of in the accounting process.
Okay.
But that so that's not necessarily all going to go into there, but gotcha. Some of it might. It just depends on
okay.
whether or not they were informally deobligated by staff before.
Any discussion?
I'll make a motion that we transfer $1 million from the Construction Revolving Fund to the Preservation Fund.
Second.
Second by Mayor Randall. Any debate? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, our last action item is a discussion, number six, on consideration of approval of COG policy revisions.
This again is staff initiated. If you look at what was sent out, hopefully you've got one that shows the red changes in red. These are items that we've just had small problems with over the years, and so we're trying to make them more clear in the policies. First significant one is on the third page under Quarter Preservation Fund. Item C3 reads, the seller is willing to sign a willing seller agreement. Appraisals are recommended but not required prior to fund appropriation. That's the part that's in there now. It basically just says you have to have a willing seller and you have to have an appraisal. Or appraisals are recommended. And this is when you're appropriating money. It's not when you're actually spending it because you have to have an appraisal to spend it. But we're saying that you don't have to have an appraisal to ask for the money. And we'd like to add this additional sentence that says, however, increased information, such as appraisals and surveys, can lead to increased chances of approval. What it does is it helps us have a more exact figure when they come in so we don't have those excess obligated funds. Hopefully we know exactly what they're going to spend or within a few dollars, so that we aren't obligating funds and then letting them sit there for a long time and not be able to obligate them to other projects. So if you have your appraisal up front, if you have your surveys done up front, and you're pretty assured you're going to get funding, then this would encourage you to do that. That's the first one. The second one is on the last page. And it's under the administration. It says, Washington County shall provide the necessary staff to assist the COG in fulfilling its duties, which is on there now. This is the sentence we'd like to add. Applicants for funding shall provide staff with adequate time to process requests and prepare documentation and funding for closings. A minimum of 8 working days is required. And this is just to aid staff because a lot of times when you have a closing, they'll say, okay, we need this done tomorrow, and we just can't adequately review it, can't adequately schedule people to attend the closing. And so this is to give everybody notice that we need some time to review those and also to review applications for funding. We can't get them the day before the COG meeting and adequately have a chance to review them and get the information out to the COG members. The next one is eligible costs. One thing that's been a sticking point for a lot of transactions is rollback taxes. And for the most part, the COG has paid the rollback taxes, but there's always been a question right there at the end. And so this would formally allow us to pay rollback taxes. A lot of times you'll get to a closing and the person you're buying it from didn't understand that they were going to have to pay some rollback taxes. They thought they were getting the amount of the check, and so this would just formally allow that. The next one was just a heading for appraisals. That was not anything significant. Last one is meetings. This is something that we've been trying to do anyway, but we want to formalize it. It says it is expected that the COG will have at least two reporting meetings per year. One reporting meeting to discuss currently obligated funds and the status of each project, and the other reporting meeting to discuss the surplus property and status of each parcel. Right now we have obligated funds, and we want to be able to discuss those and see how much progress we're making. The second one is we've acquired a lot of excess property, and we want a status report on that to know, can that be sold? You know, we may have required the whole property, but now we've established where the road's going to go. Can we get those funds back into the COG by selling that excess property? Right now there's really no incentive for COG members to sell that property. It doesn't go back to them directly, but we do want to be able to have a status report on that once a year and get that property encouraged to come back into sold and brought back into the COG. So that's staff recommendation on potential changes.
Okay.
Chairman, those all seem reasonable to me. I'm going to approve the changes as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Sid, second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. I excuse Commissioner Schnell, you haven't done me. This must be different, Rick, because this says Safe Streets for all FOU on.
Sorry, that's Wyron's problem.
So change it up.
That's how it was told to me.
So I think everybody was already here for the DTEC meeting. We weren't sure if the COG was going to happen in this meeting. But the COG is still the body because this is a Washington County plan, not just a DCMPO plan. So it's a short presentation, so get it on the agenda, right? We talked about it at the COG. Next month we'll certainly come back for a full COG. So let me just run through these slides just real quick. Meyer, Nick, you want to add anything?
We wanted to make sure that everyone got this on the record for the COG in case anyone was not in the tech that came here. So we'll try to make this as brief as possible since it's practically the same, a briefer version of the same presentation we just gave.
There's usually maybe a few people that come in from the COG that don't join the DTEC, but today that didn't happen. So just real quick, Myron will run through these Safe Routes to Street. The update that we had was ongoing for engagement, collaboration, and leadership and commitment, finalizing that here in August and September with the full goal of the SS4A plan end of September following the next COG meeting. So hopefully there is a COG meeting next month because we need
there
that.
There will be now.
The plan review. All eight items that are required by the SS4A action plan to self-certify are in the action plan for Washington County, so self-certification can happen, and then people can start using this plan to put in for grant opportunities. And the next grant opportunity is August 29th, so next Thursday, I think, since today, Thursday, is the next opportunity. It sounds like there are a few people in Washington County that are considering a demo grant opportunity for to submit by next Thursday. Go ahead, Larry. So areas in the action plan, obviously the goal, the high injury network and the safety profiles are in the plan, all the public comment. We have a big database, GIS, that has the survey issues identified by geolocation across the entire county is in the plan, the project recommendations and safety solutions with the safety profiles, and then the policy recommendations. And then again, how to use the plan. We have the MISL chart for the top 50 projects and highlighting the safety profiles that exist on each one of those segments to be used by the local entities to address safety concerns as they're developing new projects or wanting to modify existing corridors.
What do your colors mean anything there? Or?
The yellow or the yellow and the purple are the VRU, so the vulnerable roadway users, either bikes or pets, are those colors. The blues are just the areas, those safety profiles that exist on that thing. So number 17 there has teen driver crashes and angles, the lights, you know, it doesn't have that issue from the safety profile in that particular corridor. And then we are developing a story map. That will probably be mid next week when we have that complete. We'll send that out to the COG and the DTEC group so you can, you know, get a better look of what's in the overall plan. It's fairly large. We're trying to break it down and make it user-friendly and you know, something that just won't sit on a shelf, that it's actionable over, you know, the next 10 years or so in Washington County. And we'll be updated every year with new data.
Okay.
Next steps. Again, we're developing the story map. We'll be sending that out probably mid-next week. And then we'll be looking to come back to the COG with that final action plan. We're letting you know. So if you have any review opportunities over the next month, let us know. If you have any comments at all, and then we'll be delivering all that documentation to the NPO staff for plan implementation. That's it. Thank you.
You also have stats on various designs as well for safer streets, like medians and...
So we have crash modification factors on every one of the crash profiles. So you can look at it and see what you would expect if you implemented this improvement on that factors, which we would actually reduce on the numbers. Some of them are cheap implementations, some of them are the expensive implementations. So readily addressed. Like the flashing yellow arrow, that could be readily addressed pretty easily in some of these corridors for times. Get rid of the flashing yellow arrow.
In there, so now the people that know that, now they run the red.
That's where we need the cops to really start hammering on red light.
I agree.
Runners.
It's a tough thing because you, I mean, most people don't. You can make it a longer red cycle, you know, in between there to try to clear the intersection up.
Yeah.
Then people, so
they
people
know
see that.
That
and they're like, oh yeah, that's three more seconds.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just just tough. Behaviors are tough.
You could sit at 100 South and River Road, which is by Five Guys, and
write tickets all day.
I don't know. There's got to be a faster way to write.
It's that camera on your face and your driver's license plate.
Yeah, I mean, the red light enforcement is something that obviously everybody is considering that's happening across the United States. It's a tough issue because of, you know, the state doesn't allow it, but that's something that all the NPOs are talking about, is at critical locations, not at every one, but at critical locations, should you actually start doing that, you know, people will change their behavior. I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
Mm. You put a sign up there. Ticket it automatically.
It's kind of funny because I was out, we were way out in Great Salt Lake with the salt flats and stuff, out there in the middle of nowhere, at this gate, and it says 24-hour surveillance. Where's the camera?
Just put the sign up. Don't even worry about the camera.
I don't see any cameras, but it says no trespassing under 24-hour surveillance anymore. Where's the camera out here?
We're going to put a few of those signs in our
So fake signs don't work either.
Fake signs.
Yeah, those are watching.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned. That's the exhaustion of our agenda. Thank you for driving way out.
Thanks, Chris.
Good to see you.
They're not five times, but at least they're not.